Antioch Presbyterian Church exists as a family of God to teach the truth, to serve the church, the community, and the world, always remaining true in worship to the unerring word of God in response to God's unwavering love for us. Antioch Presbyterian Church exists as a family of God to teach the truth and to serve the church, the community, and the world. This part of our mission statement, to serve the church, the community, and the world, reflects our core value of helping others. Our tagline ends, serving all, one faith, one family, serving all. As our text says this morning, we are not to grow weary in doing good, especially to those that are of the household of faith. So helping others begins in the church. 1 John tells us that the world will know that we belong to Christ because of our love. Our love is shown through serving one another. We serve people by the obvious ways we think of, meeting physical needs. These could be monetary, transportation, it could be good, it could be physical assistance, information, education, gazillions of ways that we can serve others. In verse 6 of Galatians 6, Paul talks about providing for spiritual teachers, that teachers ought to be compensated for their teaching. We are to call to care for people throughout their life stages, from birth to death and everything in between, all the transitions of life. We are called to care for one another, and we are called to serve one another spiritually. The second great end of the church is the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. To provide shelter is to create safe space for believers to rest from the world, to be themselves without being judged, to be able to ask hard questions, to be welcomed and to be loved. Nurturing encourages people and allows them to use their God-given gifts, talents, and skills in service within and without the church. To provide nurture is to disciple into spiritual maturity. We do this through mutual accountability, correcting error, confronting sin, and administering discipline when necessary. Schleyer says, the church acts in a motherly way, even with the sinners. Paul says that we are to correct one another with gentleness, which is a characteristic of spiritual people, people who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, because gentleness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between judging someone and having accountability. Judging is making assumptions about someone without listening to them. It's talking about them instead of talking to them. It's not allowing the Holy Spirit time to adjust a person's life in the Spirit's timing, but demanding change in a person. Judging someone is condemning them. In contrast, holding someone accountable has a goal of restoration, to bring a person back into fellowship with God and with the church. Judgment is harsh. Correcting is gentle. Judging creates a spirit of distrust and hiding, while accountability allows people to be vulnerable while building trust. Judging is what Paul warns us about in our passage today. In verses 1 through 4, Paul says the one doing the confronting must take heed in two ways. One, so that you do not fall into the other person's sin yourself, or excuse it, and two, so that you don't become self-righteous when you're confronting a brother or sister about their sin. Self-righteousness can do more damage to a church and to a brother and sister in Christ than that person's own sin. Therefore, Paul calls us to self-examination. Pliny the Elder observed wisely, "You must know people who are slaves to that very sort of passion which they display, a sort of jealous resentment against the faults of others, and show the least mercy to those they most resemble. Though there are other people who need no man's forgiveness, but whose greatest virtue is their tolerance." Pliny's talking about two different people here. those who are overly harsh toward another person's sin and yet are prone to do the same things themselves. As Shakespeare said, "Methinkest he protests too much." Or others who tolerate other sins and dismiss them because they don't want to admit that they have any fault themselves. So it's just okay. Whatever you do is okay, because I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. But Paul calls us, Scripture calls us to examine ourselves. Jesus tells us to examine ourselves when he gives the illustration about removing the log from your own eye before trying to help your brother or sister remove the speck that is in their eye. Paul says that we must stop comparing ourselves with other people, that we can only legitimately compare self with ourself. Then, after we have examined ourselves, then we'll find out whether or not we have anything to boast about. I wonder if Paul isn't being a bit sarcastic here, and that if we honestly examine ourselves, we might find that we have very little to boast about. Although I do think that we can celebrate how we grow in the Lord, and we ought to. We ought to celebrate personal victory over sin. We ought to celebrate when we can look back at our lives and see transformation wrought by the work of the Holy Spirit. We can celebrate daily victories that we have. Yay, I didn't cuss anyone out today. Yay, I didn't give in to my addiction today. Woohoo, I didn't gossip or say mean things about somebody behind their back. Yay, I didn't lie today. These are the kinds of boasting that we can do and celebrate. But even then, we must recognize that it's only because of the power of the Holy Spirit in us that we have the right to boast. Paul says elsewhere that I boast in nothing save Christ crucified and what he's done in me. We give God the credit for the victory that we have in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Spiritual fellowship is more than just eating together. Spiritual fellowship is sharing in each other's griefs and each other's joys. It's friendship, and it's indeed being family, as we have talked about before. Listening, shared prayer for each other, both alone and individual, praying for one another together and alone. It is hospitality and care. Spiritual fellowship includes seeking and receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness to others. It is providing encouragement. It's sharing our personal stories of faith and reminding one another of the story, the biblical story. And it is bearing one another's burdens, as Paul talks about in our Galatians passage today. All of us have problems. All of us need to take responsibility for ourselves, Paul also says. But we don't have to go it alone, and we're not even supposed to go it alone. It is a shared life. So if somebody is willing to help you out, let them. You will both benefit from it. Now, obviously, when we think of serving the church, the first people that we think of are the people in this room, Antioch Presbyterian Church. But the church is made up of everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Together we are the household of faith. That means other believers here in Jacksonville, regardless of what church they belong to. It means other believers on the other side of the world, that we are called to do good and to serve them as well. I had a seminary professor who taught that every church should be a receiving church and a sending church. That means we need to hear the voices of believers on the other side of the world, that we need to be engaged with them and to hear what they can tell us about their experience with Jesus Christ. And we need to go, and we need to be involved. But serving the church is not our only responsibility. Our last verse says, do good, especially to those of the household of faith. But it says, do good to all. And we have said that we strive to serve the church, the community, and the world. So our mission statement names next community. I think of Jesus' telling of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus told this story when a lawyer was questioning Jesus, and Jesus says, yes, you're right in saying that the great commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So then the lawyer questions Jesus again and says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus proceeds to tell the story of the Samaritan. Jesus is showing us that the one who is near to us is our neighbor. It doesn't matter if they're like us. It doesn't matter if they deserve to be helped. It doesn't matter whether or not we like that person. If we know that someone is in need who is near to us, we are called to respond as we are able. We are to serve them regardless of that person's condition of life, regardless of their ethnicity, their age, their gender, their physical ability. Only condition is need. Is that person in need, and is there something that I can do to meet that person's need? When we're called to serve regardless of whether or not we receive any direct benefit. Paul tells us that there will be a harvest that will be reaped if we do not give up, that the good we do will eventually pay off. The Bible tells us what service looks like. The Bible names taking care of widows and orphans and the fatherless, taking care of the poor, feeding the hungry, helping the homeless, visiting those in prison, defending those who have been treated unjustly, looking out for immigrants and refugees, which the Bible calls strangers and aliens. And when we serve, we do so in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid to give Jesus as a reason for your service. Sharing the gospel is part of serving. In Matthew's version of the Great Commission, Jesus says, as you are going, make disciples. Making disciples is part of serving the community. As we go, we encounter people that don't know Jesus, people who need Jesus. Dave Ferguson teaches on 5 ways to bless your neighbor using the acronym BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. B, begin with prayer. Pray for those who don't know Jesus, and if you can, pray for them by name. Be specific. L, listen. If you want to be heard, then you have to listen first. Listen to someone else's stories and listen to what they might need, because as you listen, you might learn better how to meet their need. E is eat together, that we all have to eat, and eating with others is a great way to get to know more about them. The first S is serve, and these are the typical things that we think about that we've already named this morning when we think of as service. And finally, the second S is story. This is your journey of faith and the gospel message. And you may only get to reveal small bits of it at a time as you encounter people. But take advantage of the opportunities to lift up Jesus and to share something about him from your own life or from the gospel narrative. Listen for that spiritual thirst and respond by sharing the story. Now, serving others, serving the community, doesn't mean that we need to intentionally allow ourselves to get taken advantage of. There are going to be people who take advantage of us, and there's not necessarily anything that we can do about it. But when we know that someone is only trying to use us, then we only enable them by giving them what they think that they want. They may still be a person in need, but what they need to hear is no. We can redirect a person to other resources that can truly help them to meet their real need. Or sometimes the best thing is to let a person face the consequences for their actions. That's what's really going to help them most, for to face the consequences for their poor choices or their wrong behavior. Otherwise, we're only enabling them and we're not really helping them. And then we are called to serve the world. This is serving those beyond our immediate surroundings. It includes environmental stewardship, caring for creation, Now, certainly we cannot meet the needs of everyone in the world, especially those far away from us. We watch the news, we see some disaster, and we wonder, what can I do? But we can always do something, and it's prayer, and that is not a small thing. It is a big thing, and it is an important thing, the most important thing we can do. We need to be praying for needs around the world. We need to be praying for the salvation of the nations, those in places far away, as well as our neighbors that we know personally who don't know Jesus. We can support global evangelism through supporting a specific missionary or indigenous Christian worker through our prayers and financial support. And serving the world means resisting evil where we see it, standing up against wrong and injustice. As Craig Dykstra says, working together to create social structures that sustain life according to God's will. We can be engaged with the wider world, faraway places, and we are called to do so. To serve the church, the community, and the world offers a challenge to us. We have said that we highly value helping others. As a session, we were able to name concretely things that we did that already reflect this value, things that we do as Antioch Presbyterian Church to serve the church, the community, and the world. But when we look at what Scripture says, even this passage here in Galatians, when we think about the things that Jesus says about helping others, and when we actually examine ourselves as Paul challenges us and exhorts us to do, we realize that we could be doing a whole lot more. We probably should be doing a whole lot more. But don't give up. May we be inspired, not discouraged, as we seek to live into this mission statement, to serve in response to God's unwavering love for us. Indeed, let us not grow weary in doing good, knowing that our sowing will reap a harvest that is good and bountiful and righteous and wonderful, that what we do will not go unnoticed and will not go unrewarded. So let us strive to serve our church, our community, and our world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are challenged, but it is something that we value. We value helping others, so help us to serve. To serve one another by holding one another accountable without being judgmental, to meet the needs within our family, and to allow others to help us to meet our needs when we have them. Lord, help us to bless people in our community, to pray for them, to listen to them, to eat with them, to serve them, and to share our story with them. And help us not to neglect the wider world. Lord, may we examine ourselves so that if we boast, it is in the things that you are doing in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, not comparing ourselves with other people, but recognizing the things that we still need correction on in our own lives, and being able to celebrate the victories that you accomplish in us as we obey the Holy Spirit. Lord, empower us and enable us, because of your unwavering love for us, to bless our church, our community, and our world in Jesus' name, always in Jesus' name, in which we pray. Amen.